So we have some new intro music for this very special episode. This is an emergency. What on earth happened?
You said you had to cue up the intro music. I'm like, what are you going to do? Oh.
Special intro music just for this episode. And if you think my voice sounds weird right now, we literally just woke up.
Like 10 minutes ago.
And we need to discuss what the heck happened yesterday during the second semifinal of the NCAA championships.
So at this point in time, I think everyone knows that Oklahoma did not advance out of the Final Four.
And it's funny because right before the meet started, Brittany and I were going to pick up our dinner and we ordered it a little bit too late. So we were running very close to the start of semifinal two. But as we were in the car, we were discussing
how difficult this session was
and how exciting this competition could be. And I remember saying that somebody is going to go home crying tonight. Probably two people, honestly, because all these teams are really good and all of them on the right day could advance.
But I think particularly the battle between Utah and Florida, two teams that have done well all season and especially in the postseason, I feel like we're building up and absolutely had the potential to both be in the Final Four. But we were assuming that Oklahoma was going to advance. I mean, that honestly felt like a given.
Yeah, when I said that someone was going to go home crying, I absolutely did not think it was going to be Oklahoma of all teams. It feels like what happened to Simone Biles in Tokyo. Like, yeah. No one expected that. That's how I feel about this Oklahoma situation.
So they started on vault, and Faith Torres opened up the competition with a fall, which is extremely uncharacteristic, not only for Faith Torres, but just for Oklahoma in general, to open up a rotation with a fall. We just never see that. And so we're thinking they'll be fine. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, they haven't had vault falls all season. They just need to land on their feet. Like, they don't have to stick. They don't have to. Like, they just need to land on their feet,
Oklahoma,
and they should be fine.
Oklahoma is historically a team that rallies when they have a mistake. So I was not worried about it at all when Torres went down.
I was not worried in the slightest. And then I don't remember the exact order off the top of my head.
Jordan Bowers was the next.
I know Jordan Bowers was the next. I don't think. Kira Wells went up and got a 9-9-9 ball. And we're like, okay, you know, this here is what we expected. And then Jordan Bowers went up and under-rotated her vault. She didn't sit it, but it was extremely, extremely close to a fall. She somehow kept it on her feet.
Yeah.
But a very deep squat. Fighting to keep it on her feet, obviously a really big deduction. She scored, like, I think 9-4 something. And then Kat Levasseur, a vault or two later, basically did the same thing, and she got, like, a 9-3 something. So, technically, Oklahoma didn't count two falls in that first rotation, but the scores, I mean, obviously being under a 9-5 and having to count two of those,
not good.
It's really put them in a hole immediately that I was thinking they are going to have to be, you know, pretty much perfect from this point forward and probably even hope that one of these other teams or two of these other teams make a mistake even be in this.
In a competition of this level, regionals is the same way. You can't have mistakes like that.
Yeah.
You can, you know, maybe afford to make small mistakes or...
Oh, yeah. A team like Oklahoma, they didn't have to be perfect. Oklahoma could have just been good. Or, like, normal. And it would have absolutely been enough.
Well, and it's interesting because now, this is just now hitting me, they were kind of off on vault at regionals.
They did have one of their worst, actually, I think it was their worst at that point in time, vault rotation of the season. But it wasn't anything even on this level. Like, this was, like, particularly shocking.
Yeah.
Somebody that was in the arena said that they stuck every single vault in warm-ups. Which
that's painful.
Bev Plocky has always told us. Now, to me, it totally makes sense because I've seen it happen in real life to Michigan and to other teams that you never, ever want to see a team stick all of their vaults in warm-up or stick most of their vaults in warm-up because it's really, really difficult to replicate that. And I also think that it changes your mindset going into your individual routine. If you go up there and you stick a vault, you don't necessarily have any corrections that you're focused on going into your routine. Your brain is focused on replicate because you stuck. I mean, just because you stuck doesn't mean that it's perfect, but whatever you just did, you need to do it again because that was, it was good.
You hear this said so many times, you don't want to focus on the stick. And when, like you said, when you warm up and you stick it, when you go into the competition, you're thinking stick it.
Right. And when you take a step forward or you have a hop forward in your warm up vault, what is your brain focused on? You're thinking about the corrections that you need to make off the table and in the air to be able to get the stick. So your brain is more focused on the dynamics of the vault and what you need to do, and the stick will come. Whereas I think when you stick, you're less focused on making a certain correction or, you know, maybe what needs to happen off the table, in the air. Your brain is thinking,
do that
pretty
again.
Much just replicate.
Mm-hmm.
So I think mentally, even it's physically, it's hard to stick that many times in a row, but I also think mentally it's very, very difficult to repeat, especially when your entire lineup is sticking or almost sticking.
Mm-hmm.
You want to do that in competition, not in the warm-ups. And yeah. Granted, sometimes it happens, like sometimes the stick does just happen, but I think it's interesting to see people who were in the arena saying that Oklahoma was like, it was like they were scary good in vault warm up. And then to see them crumble pretty much in competition, I just never would have predicted them doing that.
Super uncharacteristic for sure. And then, you know, bars was great. They went to beam and Ava Siegfeld had a fall in the second spot. And then Kat Lavasser, poor girl, just was not having a good day. Had a fall on beam as well, so Oklahoma was going to be counting a fall on beam in addition to all the mistakes on vault, and they finished the competition really strong on floor, which kudos to them for not only being able to like stay in the zone mentally to be able to finish the meet when you know that you're kind of out of it. That's a really tough position to be in. We've been there as fans before, knowing that your team is
yes,
out of
we
it,
have.
But still having to fight and still having to, you know, go through the motions and finish the meet. And also for them to be supporting Gabby Wilson, they were rotating with Michigan's Gabby Wilson. And despite
the devastation,
mm-hmm,
the literal devastation,
careers ending and tears and yeah, just utter shock.
The realization that you're not advancing, the realization that you're not going to have a 3-peat, that you're not going to win.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot that's happening in your head, I feel like, in that moment.
But to still be cheering on another athlete who's not even on your team.
And it wasn't even like half-heartedly cheering on. Like they were like jumping up and down, like arms overhead. Like
mm-hmm.
They were enthusiastically cheering for Gabby as if she was one of their own.
Yeah.
And in that moment, I was like, I don't know. I'm sure that I have, but off the top of my head, I'll say, I cannot think of a better example of really, really good sportsmanship, because they had every right in that moment to be devastated, to be crying,
oh
to be
gosh.
In their feels, and they looked so composed.
Yeah.
Obviously, they were upset, and you could see some people on their faces, especially the ones that are retiring, like Soraya Hawthorne and
Reagan.
You
Reagan
could see
was
it.
Sad. Yeah, she was like,
but she was even still cheering.
So devastated, but then like through that was like, come on, Gabby.
Yeah, and that's just so difficult to do. So I had a lot of respect for the team in that moment.
And the things that KJ Kindler said afterwards.
I mean,
they came into this meet and this whole season with so much pressure. Honestly, I already made the comparison about Simone Biles, and it really is similar in the sense, I think the fans kind of expect, I mean, we're guilty of it too. I mean, I'm sure.
Go back and listen
to. You can go back and listen to numerous episodes, and we make it sound like Oklahoma is a lock, and you know they're obviously the favorites to win, but you know to make it seem like they're almost kind of invincible. And I think times like this are a reminder to everybody, athletes, coaches, fans, everywhere, that you can never take anything for granted because nothing is guaranteed. And mm-hmm. That sounds really obvious. But I think sometimes we forget that.
Yeah.
And you don't really realize it until it's your favorite team that is upset, that is devastated, that you really can't take any part of a season for granted.
No.
Making it through healthy, making it to regionals, making it to regional finals, making it to the NCAA championships, making it to the NCAA championship finals. Like, you really can't take any of that for granted because nobody, I'll emphasize, nobody is guaranteed. You can never get comfortable.
And Oklahoma just dominated the regular season. They were undefeated. Obviously posted the highest
yeah.
score in NCAA history.
They broke so many records.
Yeah, like they were just having such an amazing season. And to have it end this way is absolutely heartbreaking for them.
What do you think happened? Do you think that there's something that you could pinpoint as this is what happened? Like, do you think that they got in their head? Do you think it was the pressure? Or do you think they just picked a bad day to have a bad day?
A lot of things. So I believe that every team has a meet like that. Because when you look back, pick a team and go back and look at their season, any year even, most teams have at least one meet in their season that was like low-key a flop. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so for a team to get through an entirety of a season without making any really major errors as a team is extremely, extremely rare. Like very, very few teams can say they get through the entire season without counting a fall or having like a really just bad, shaky rotation. It's very, very hard to do. So I think that's one thing. KJ Kindler said in the press conference afterwards that it's possible they didn't have enough pressure on them this season. Mm-hmm. They were kind of just, you know, flying through the season untouched and had this element of
invincibility
to them. That not that it got to their head. I don't think for a second that it got to their head. I think those ladies are a lot more humble than people even give them credit for. I think the fans and people like us put pressure on them and we see them as invincible. I don't think they see themselves that way. So I'll just say that. But I also think some of the most competitive teams in the country consistently are the SEC teams. And they have this dog mentality when it comes to pressure situations. And I think, and the SEC fans are going to love me saying this, but it's true. I think that the SEC is so competitive throughout the regular season that teams within the Big Ten, that Oklahoma, truthfully, and you could even say at various points, even the Pac-12, it's not as consistently high level of competitiveness that the SEC is competing under every single week.
Yeah, week after week.
And so I think that breeds a different mentality and kind of like, all I can think to say is like that dog mentality. You know what I'm trying to say though? To quote Fred Richard.
If you don't know what she's referring to, we did an interview with Fred Richard back when I was working at Inside Gymnastics and he said the word dog so many times.
And reference,
like, we were dogs. The dog mentality. Like, he came out and he was like a dog.
It was in reference to them winning the bronze at Worlds.
Yeah.
But anyways, like, truthfully, like, I feel like this embodies that as well.
Taking a page out of Fred's book.
Yeah. But you guys know what I mean. Like, there's just this certain level of pressure that those teams compete under that I think they are less likely to have a major meltdown, I'll say, in a big moment. And I would normally put Oklahoma in that category too. Like, Oklahoma can handle pressure, clearly. They've done it for 3 consecutive years, mm-hmm. pretty much.
And more than that.
Well, right. But I mean, just even throughout the regular season. Like, they are used to the pressure of being the number one team and going for a three-peat. Like, that is pressure in and of itself. But it's interesting that KJ said that because I kind of think that that played into it as well. I think that we've seen teams get upset all season long. We see it happen every year in the postseason. And I think that's in the back of everybody's mind, including Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. I think we saw some signs of realness and humanness from them and that they feel pressure too sometimes. And I think in that moment, they were trying just a little too hard and I think it got to them.
Yeah, just... there are no words. I spent all last night, woke up this morning. It hit me again this morning, like the shock mm-hmm. of Oklahoma not advancing to the finals. Definitely an outcome that nobody predicted.
It completely changes everything.
A bracket buster.
Oh, well, and we did say that Vault has been the dream crusher this season, and I feel like that is still proving to be true. I mean, they did have a fall on Beam as well, but I think it really started with...
it unraveled on Vault.
And so that'll be super interesting now going into the Final Four, and kind of why we're making this episode is, one, I wanted to acknowledge Oklahoma. I didn't want to have to carry the heaviness and the sadness of that moment into... an episode where we're talking about somebody winning now and having that be like a positive, happy moment. But it also changes predictions because going in all season long, I've just been, well, Oklahoma's going to win. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, LSU could win, Cal could win, but like, let's be real, Oklahoma's going
to
win.
Like, they need Oklahoma to make mistakes because Oklahoma has this in the bag.
And now that's out the window. So now what do we do?
Right. So this is going to get really, really interesting. We have... two teams in Cal and LSU who have never won an NCAA championship before. And then you have two teams who haven't won it in a very long time. Utah hasn't won since 1995, and Florida hasn't won in almost a decade. The last time they won it was in 2015.
That feels unreal to me.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't feel like it was that long ago.
I feel like Florida won like 5 years ago.
As we say all the time on this podcast, time is weird. Time doesn't make sense.
It just goes really, really fast.
It does. So now one of those teams is going to walk away with the national championship. And for all the head coaches of these programs, it'll be the first national championship for them too. Because Jay Clark has won several national championships with Georgia back in the Georgia glory days when he was an assistant coach.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not won with LSU as a head coach.
Or Georgia when he was the head coach.
Right, for like the 2 years or whatever it was that he was head coach. Mm-hmm. And then the last time Florida won, Rhonda Fain was the head coach. So Jenny Rollins has never won a national title. Liz Crandall Howell, of course, with Cal never winning, has never won a national title. And then Utah hasn't won since 1995. So the last time they won, Greg Marsden was the head coach. So Carly Nockendorf has the potential to bring the Utes to a victory for the first time in her first season as a head coach. It's not even the first time in her career. This is her first season as head coach. So
yeah.
So I'm going to be interesting.
I'm really, really curious to see how all of these teams are going to respond to this, because I think one of two things can happen. I think that they are all going to either go in there, or some of the teams are going to go in there, because they don't all have to do the same thing. I think people could flop and I think people could be on. I think that they're either going to go in there and now that the door is completely wide open, people are going to fight.
They probably feel like it's more possible now that they all could win.
In theory, any of these teams could win. And so it's going to be really, really exciting. But that also, I think, could be a lot of pressure, because before,
you're the underdog.
You're all chasing Oklahoma. And I feel like the focus is on that. It's on you chasing Oklahoma. But now that it's anybody's game and anybody could win, and I don't think anybody was necessarily planning on going in with the mindset of like, oh, we have this in the bag. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like Oklahoma probably could.
Right. Or so, Oklahoma fans. Like if I was an Oklahoma fan, I'm pretty sure I've said that to you before, not on the podcast, but just in our conversations. I'm pretty sure I've said that, you know, sometimes I wish I was an Oklahoma fan because then I just wouldn't have to worry about
sadness
and, you know, not winning.
So anyways, I think that the pressure of this moment could either be a good thing or a bad thing, I think is what I'm trying to say. Like the fact that you could win genuinely could fire you the F up, or it could be a lot and you crumble.
Yeah.
And so I don't know how this is going to go.
A team like Michigan in 2021, when they won with the underdog mentality, because obviously Oklahoma was there, Oklahoma was on. So they came in as underdogs and kind of, I think, competed like the underdogs throughout the whole competition. But I think it's going to be tricky to do that knowing that Oklahoma's out of it.
That's what I'm trying to say. Like, yeah. And that's not to say that Oklahoma couldn't have been off in the finals and another team couldn't have been on and capitalized.
But their presence puts pressure no matter what.
Yes. I think that if Oklahoma was in that final, everybody would be mostly expecting Oklahoma to win. And now that they're not there and the door is completely just blown open, I wonder if we're going to see some teams maybe trying a little bit too hard because they're trying to win the national title instead of just trying to like be the best they can to top Oklahoma if Oklahoma's off type mentality.
Yeah.
There is a mentality shift, I think, there that some teams maybe will be better at than others.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know who's going to be better at it than others. That's where it's going to get interesting, because I could see it going so many different ways. What is your gut saying?
Well, I do have a gut feeling. Let me say one more thing before I get to that. I think in general, all of these teams have had vault as a weakness at various points in the season. I think that Florida has been the best at finding their landings in recent weeks. And I do think that it's going to come down to that for all of these teams.
You're saying it comes down to vault.
I think it's going to, obviously you have to hit everything else too. Like you can't be mid.
I say beam is beam.
well, right. Obviously. Like obviously you can't fall. Obviously you can't have like a major mistake, any of these teams. But I think if every team does kind of what they've been doing all season, I think it's going to come down to who sticks the most vaults out of all of these teams. And so then the question becomes, who do you have the most faith in sticking the most vaults or having the least amount of deductions on vault. And so that's where I kind of keep getting tripped up, because I do think that you can make an argument for any of these teams on any day. I will say this. I think I have the least amount of faith in Utah.
Mm-hmm.
I think I feel pretty confident in that. And that's not shade to Utah, obviously.
Their vault struggles have been pretty consistent.
Yes. And they had some stuck vaults yesterday. Like, they had some good vaults in there. But... And they can turn it on, absolutely. But I just, if I'm talking about my prediction and what I think I could see happening, I think I have the least amount of faith in them having the vault rotation they need to actually be able to win. They start on vault and they end on floor. So that'll be interesting, because they'll get that out of the way first.
Because the rest of the rotations are great for them. They're, you know, they're good on bars. They can be good on bars. They're great on beam. They're good on floor. So if they can come out strong in that first rotation on vault,
they will absolutely be in it. I
think that they'll be in it.
Florida starts on bars and they end on vault. I would not want that draw if I was any other team. I actually think that out of these four teams, I think that Florida is the best on vault. And so I could see them, if they're keeping it close and they go up there and they have some good vaults, I think that that's not going to hinder their chances of winning in any way. Cal, you have starting on beam, which is good to get that out of the way, but they could also be nervy to start. Mm-hmm. That means they end on bars. And then LSU starts on floor, which is their best event. So they're going to come out the gates really, really strong. But then they end on beam, which is beam.
Right, which is like one of the worst draws you could get.
And they had their best beam performance of the season yesterday. They looked amazing on beam. But can you repeat that?
National championships can be won on beam. We've seen it happen. So it's not completely out of the realm of possibility, but definitely no small task either. So
you asked me what my like gut feeling was.
Yeah.
I keep going back and forth in my head. I don't think that you can apply logic to the situation. Like, I just don't think there is a right answer. Mm-hmm. I think you can make a really strong, solid argument for any of these teams. It really just depends on how they look that day. But my gut is saying LSU.
Is that what yours is saying too? I'm going back and forth between Cal and LSU.
Yeah.
Because part of me sees Cal having this like Cinderella story finish. And Cal has been pretty consistently, you know, the second best to Oklahoma this season. Other teams have had their moments as well. I'm not saying that like Cal is definitively the second best to Oklahoma. But Cal has that ability to just turn it on and be on. I think it's going to come down to, like you mentioned, how they handle the pressure and what the mindset is going into the meet.
Which they have not always been the best at that, which is where I think I'm giving LSU the edge a little bit, because LSU can handle pressure. Yeah. LSU seems to get better in pressure for the most part. And Cal so far hasn't proven that. That's not to say that they can't. I hope they do, for their sake. I want them to have a really, really good meet, because I do think that this is a year where they could win.
Especially when they've talked about in the past not having the most confidence and like viewing themselves as some of these other teams.
In these like types of moments.
In the same vein as these other teams.
Yeah. So I think it would be huge for them to have the meet that they know that they are capable of having and that they've done all season. But... I also think that LSU has been on the cusp for a very long time. And it's one of those things, Jay Clark says this all the time in their weekly press conferences, that like LSU is going to win a national title at some point. We just don't know when it is. But like, we all know that at some point it's going to happen. And I think I feel that way too. And so to me, this year just feels like, why not this year? Like, this is the year to do it, especially now that Oklahoma's out. Especially right. Now.
A huge opponent just got out of your way.
Yeah. Because otherwise we wouldn't be having this conversation. Like, this podcast would not be recorded if Oklahoma was in it. You know what I mean? But now that they're out, it definitely makes things interesting. So, yeah, I think that LSU has the confidence to win. I think that LSU has been looking really, really good in postseason. I guess why not them? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think that Cal has more to prove than LSU does.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. And I also do want to say I'm not forgetting about Florida, because I actually do think Florida's in the mix as well. A lot of people rope them off at the beginning of the season because they started kind of slow. But I've always felt like they were building. And I'm very happy to see them here at this point with this team in the Final Four, contending for a national title. They've shown few signs of weakness in the past several weeks. So I also think that they're in the mix as well. I For some reason, my gut is still saying LSU. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't be entirely surprised if Florida snuck in there and won. I think Utah, again, no offense to the Utah people. I just think that maybe they're the only team that I'm kind of like, eh, like I don't see it as much.
They have a more clear weakness than the other teams, it feels like.
Yes.
I'm with you in that I think Cal is somewhere in the gut. Like, I can see that happening. I could feel that happening. I would love for that to happen personally. But I think somewhere maybe a little bit deeper in my gut, I can see LSU winning.
Mm-hmm.
I could see this being LSU's year.
It just feels like they've been building. And after everything that happened last year and the amazing season they've had this year,
their motto is get there.
And, yep, their motto is get there. And then now knowing that Oklahoma's out, how that changes their mentality. It just feels like the pieces are maybe falling into place. I think that's what's contributing to my gut feeling. So I think I'm going to go LSU. And I just can't believe that I'm saying that because I just never, ever thought
this season with how dominant Oklahoma has looked that we'd be saying that this season.
But LSU also has a ridiculously talented team that we all knew was capable of winning a national title. They just needed the possibility. They needed the cards to align in their favor in a lot of ways, in terms of health, in terms of, you know, consistency, even in terms of maybe a team like Oklahoma eliminating themselves. You know what I mean? Like, it seems that the time is now. Like, it just seems like we're at this moment where everything has aligned for them in the way that they were wanting it to. So I think I'm going LSU, final answer.
I think I'm going LSU, final answer as well.
And we are going to, as always, have, if you're listening on Spotify, the question box open. Who do you think is going to win? Actually, we could make it a poll because there's four teams, so we should be able to do a poll.
Oh, yeah.
And you can just vote. So check the results on that and participate in that. Because we want to know what other people think. I woke up this morning and have been just scrolling on my phone trying to see what people are saying.
What the vibes are.
Trying to read people's predictions. And I don't think that anyone knows yet. Like, I think we're all just still processing what happened. Yeah.
It's going to be an exciting four on the floor, let me tell you that.
But we've been wanting this. You know, like, there was something about the borderline guarantee that Oklahoma was going to win that was kind of boring. And now this just, you know, my Saturday got a whole lot more interesting.
Right.
So that's fun.
Tune in alert on ABC.
Oh, is it on ABC?
I believe. Let me double check that real quick. But I believe it's on ABC once again, which is great for the sport.
I just want to say one more time that my heart goes out to Oklahoma because that is a devastating way to end your season when you have been so incredibly on and you've made so much history. Those athletes deserve to go out so much better. And so for the fans and for the athletes, I feel for you. And I have no doubts that Oklahoma is going to come back even stronger next year. KJ is going to have all kinds of messages put up in the locker room after this.
I'm already seeing all the memes.
Yeah.
But to answer your question, yes. So tune in to the NCAA Championship Final Saturday, April 20th, which is tomorrow if you're listening to this on Friday at 4 p.m. on ABC.